Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thanks so much for joining me tonight. We have a relaxing show for you. We are going to be talking about inner peace and finding joy. Tonight, we're going to be searching for ways to deliver peace and to find joy at the same time. Now, you may have just put in an 8 to 10 hour day, and I appreciate that. A little peace for you might be something like a good book, a nice meal, a second of silence. But we're going to be searching for a little deeper, something a little bit deeper than that. This is peace and joy you can find, you can internalize it, and then you can carry it throughout your day. Wouldn't that be great? So get comfortable, open your mind, and come along. So let me start by asking you a question. What's the rush? Why are we in such a rush to live life? Now more than ever, we have everything we could ever need at our fingertips. But we want more and more. We want to know why. Access to all this information we could ever ask for on the internet doesn't come faster, right? Haven't you said that? Why is this taking so long? Our lives seem to travel at warp speed. Our minds are taking in and spewing out information faster than we can keep up with it. And our bodies are running ragged. We're trying to keep up with everything, staying up late, trying to get everything done, waking up early, finish what we didn't get done. That's exhausting. So I ask you again, what's the rush? Have you ever looked up and realized it's already the weekend, or it's already summer or Christmas again? Have you ever said these words, Friday couldn't get here fast enough? Does it feel like just yesterday you were in high school or graduating college or getting married or having kids or turning 40 or even retiring? Mahatma Gandhi said, "There is more to life than increasing its speed." Gosh, isn't that true? What happens if you don't get it all done? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What is the worst that can happen? Is modern time really that much busier? Complicated, yes, but really busy? Let's see. Let's think about early settlers. Both parents worked. They still worked, maybe not in a job like we think about today, but they did work. Pa was most likely farming or doing some sort of construction, some sort of manual labor type of work. I always think of Little House on the Prairie. So he might have been working in the mill, definitely from sunup to sundown. Ma was feeding the livestock. She was probably cleaning and tending to the house. She was cooking. She was caring for kids. In most cases, or some cases, she was homeschooling. At night, they did homework. They spent time reading and more than likely resting, because that day sounded pretty serious. So I see fewer distractions, yes. More work? I don't think so. So if that's the case, are we doing this to ourselves? Are we putting this extra pressure on ourselves to keep up with things that don't really matter? Today we have endless options for everything. Are we trying to manage them all? Remember when we used to have 4 TV stations? Now we have hundreds of stations with endless viewing options like Netflix, Hulu, Prime, and more. Yet we still say we have nothing to watch. There's nothing on, and we've got hundreds of stations. We used to have radio stations that were only in our listening area. Now we have XM, we have hundreds. And we have streaming like iTunes, Pandora, Spotify, and more. All of this at our fingertips. We used to check a book out of the library. Now, some of you may not have any experience with that, but we did actually used to check a book out of library, or we would go into a physical bookstore and purchase a book. Now we have Kindle. We have unlimited subscriptions. We have Audible. So we've even got somebody to read a book to us. I'm guilty of that for sure. We have streaming podcasts. There are so many podcasts out there, anything that you could ever want to know. By the way, you can look up the Encouragementology podcast if you want to catch any of our previous episodes. We used to see our friends at school, work, or church. Now we're connected on multiple social channels like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I mean, those are just the ones I know. I know there's tons of ones out there that I don't even partake in. We used to call people, go out and visit them. Now we text, Skype, or instant message. Are we guilty of complicating life? And the big question is, why? Why are we doing that? What are we going to get? What's the value from keeping all these plates spinning? That's a lot of plates. Do you feel more satisfied, more fulfilled? Are you happier, more connected, more appreciated? My guess is no. Just as you can feel overwhelmed by the clutter in your personal space, so can you be overwhelmed by the clutter in your inner space. It's time to purge. And prioritize to find time and space for you to truly experience life, joy, and happiness. You got to make some room in there. So what's got to go? It may be a good time to take a personal inventory of what takes up space in your mind. What's in there? Let's start there. For some people, the struggle to focus and organize can be a result of a medical disorder. So sometimes it's pretty difficult. Anxiety disorders, ADHD, some sort of bipolar or obsessive compulsive disorder, PTSD. They are all characterized by accelerated mental activity or racing thoughts. But experts say they're seeing a rise in mental clutter among all of us. Otherwise healthy individuals. It's the rapid pace of our modern lives and the instantaneous flow of information that sends the mind racing. I need to pick up milk after work. I have to check my Instagram. I haven't checked it in a while. Are avocados healthy? I don't know. Let me Google it. Doesn't that happen in the space of a few seconds? We simply have too much information coming at us too fast. I do it. I'm completely guilty. I work on the internet. And so I have multiple tabs opened at any given time. If you looked at my desktop, it's atrocious. Talk about a messy car or room. I have a messy desktop. But I also can be right in the middle of a project. I know I've said this on here before, but I can be down literally to the last two sentences of an email. And if I get a thought in my head about something I need to know right at that very moment, I will abandon that email. And before I know it, I'm searching and reading an article. And then when I go back, I'm like, what just happened? Like, I can't believe how distracted I got so quickly. And you know the whole theory behind how much time it takes to get back to a project once you leave it. Imagine clicking around constantly. What are we doing to our brains? Have you ever seen a water meter, like when you've got a water leak and it's just spinning, 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 spinning? Imagine your brain doing that. You're keeping so many plates spinning. Think about the spinning water meter. It's very, very simple. We have too much information. We try to do too much. So what you might want to do is look for the triggers. How does your day start? What do you do first? Where do you go in your mind when you first wake up? When and how does your mind start reeling? What gets you ramped up? Is it work? maybe your kids the minute they get up and they've got schedules and you feel like you have to manage everything? Is it your spouse? Are you trying to worry about you and them, your schedule and theirs, your comfort and theirs? How much alone time do you allot yourself? How do you relax? What do you do to start your brain into a relaxation mode? Once you get a handle on what's hijacking your brain and taking up all that valuable space, you really have to start thinking about ways that you can turn the tables, get control over the situation. So here's a few ways. First, get control over your personal space. You might be busy and on the go, which sounds like a good excuse for a messy room, a messy desk, a cluttered car, but it's not. Get a trash bag and get to work. Physical clutter leads to mental clutter. First of all, clutter bombards the mind with excessive stimuli. It forces the brain to work overtime. Second, physical clutter signals the brain that there's always something else that needs to be done, which is mentally exhausting. If you never feel like you get something completed where you can relax, then your mind is always in go mode, right? Make a list. Now, Matt's laughing at me right now because I make lists all the time. Now, I don't always read them, but I make them. And the idea is to get it out of your head. I know it sounds too simple, but the fact is you can't keep all that stuff in your head forever. Before you know it, it's a jumbled mess. Use a journal, a list, a Google Drive, a calendar, whatever that may be, and clean out your head. This will also give you a clear picture of what your week actually looks like. It might also aid you in overbooking yourself. Success is only as good as the system. So find one that works for you. And you'll be shocked at how free your mind will feel once you unload it in that manner. 3, get rid of file 13. If you have an inbox full of emails, a desk full of papers, a counter full of junk mail, be decisive. Do you need it or do you not? Play yes or no. gotta go, gotta stay. We save so much for a rainy day or what if moments that we will surely drown in the maybe. The same thing applies to your brain. If you put off making decisions, your brain will soon be overflowing with all of these decisions that you still have to make. The solution is to be decisive. Clean out a junk drawer. Take time out. Give your brain a rest. Let your mind shut off from having to process, to apply, to interpret information. This means no TV, no conversation, no reading, no problem solving. Just take a break from the chores, the duties of the day. Let your breath come in and go naturally, and let your eyes just roam wherever they want. You know, I'm still working on this. I don't know if it's a New Year's resolution, but I'm trying to not occupy my free time with idle social media chatter. So what that means is if I have time, I don't need to just pull out my phone and go to social media or check the news or check my email. I need to sit there and just wonder, just think, just look around, just notice the wall, notice the corners, notice the colors, just be. Now, it's a knee jerk, and I know it is for so many of us. It's addictive. And you have a few seconds and you're like, the first thing you do is grab your phone. You do that wherever you go. Look at the people at the doctor's office. Look at the people at the airport. Look at the people in line at Kroger. We can't even stand in line without checking our phone. So take a timeout, a conscious effort to steer clear of that. 5, control your intake. be aware of what you invite into your inner space on a daily and hourly basis. Just like I said, too much information can clog up your brain. This includes the information that you take in each day by reading the newspaper, blogs, magazines, watching TV, participating in social media, like I just said, surfing the web, and so on. Subtle opinions and biases and judgments, they can creep into your mind. They can embed your thought structure. Before you know it, you'll form opinions that aren't even your own simply because you read it. You know marketers know this, right? And they're using it to their advantage. Number 6, release worry. I didn't want to overuse the term let it go, but that's what I'm saying here. Ask yourself some tough questions and give yourself some honest answers. Are the things I'm worried about under my control? That's really a good one. Is the thing I'm worried about a future threat or a past event? What will happen if I give myself permission to let go and move on? Our minds are full of thoughts in the form of judgments, expectations, fears. It all blinds us from the truth. When we do this regularly, we can drastically reduce all of the stuff that needs our attention and our energy. I mean, worry is serious. And if we don't have the control to change it, why are we worried about it? Literally, think about that. It sounds simple, but it's difficult because so many people struggle with worry and it really clutters our mind. How can we find inner peace if we are worried? Number 7, refocus your energy. Do something kind for someone else. Empathizing with another human being can put things in your own life in perspective. If you don't feel genuinely moved to lend a helping hand or pass along a compliment, simply smile. That act alone is enough to improve your mood and clear the mental blockage between you and compassion. Have you heard the term fake it till you make it? You can actually fake a smile, and you could still receive benefits from that. Of course, once you crack a smile and anyone that's around you sees it and it's met with a reciprocating smile, then yours actually becomes real because it's hard not to smile when somebody's smiling at you. Every time you smile, your brain receives neural messages. Neuropeptides are one of the helpful minuscule molecules that send positive vibes to your brain. These molecules allow neurons to communicate and tell your body when your brain is feeling an emotion, like happiness or fear or excitement. Smiling also releases neurotransmitters, like dopamine or endorphins, serotonin. Naturally releasing these chemicals is a powerful way to bring out positive emotions and create deeper human bonds just by smiling. I'm not going to say it, but I want to say it. Turn that frown upside down. Okay, I said it. Even though you get benefits from a fake smile, the real heavy doses of chemicals come from authentic smiles. The scientific name is Duchenne smiles. This is where your cheeks and your eyes raise, right? Do you do that when you smile? My mom always says I'm fake smiling when my eyes and my cheeks go up. But look, Mom, that's real. It's a more effective smile and it brings life elongated benefits for sure. Now, there's a theory about emotional expression. It dates all the way back to 1906. And the theory is that facial muscles act as ligatures on facial blood vessels that regulate cerebral blood flow, which in turn influences subjective feeling. So in this theory, the smile comes before the emotions, not the other way around, right? So you feel happy and you smile, right? But this theory is saying, no, you smile and then you feel happy. Interesting, huh? So how can we use that to our benefits? As you can see, I am intertwining peace and joy in this show. I mean, what would be the fun or the success rate if we wait till we had inner peace before we find joy? I think they go hand in hand. At some points in your life, you're looking for both, and at other points, you're overwhelmed by them. Which are you? Are you in the middle? The idea starts with being aware of what you have and then what you're lacking. For too long, we've accepted that this is life. It is what it is. We don't even have the power to change it. Or do we? Eckhart Tolle said, rather than being your thoughts and emotions, be the awareness behind them. Now, have you heard of Eckhart Tolle? Pretty interesting stuff. He is both complicated and surprisingly simple. He's a spiritual leader. He's German-born. He lives in Canada. He's best known as the author of The Power of Now. It's pretty interesting. And New Earth, Awakening Your Life's Purpose. He says, many poets and sagas throughout the ages have observed the true happiness. I call it the joy of being. Is found in simple, seemingly unremarkable things. Most people, in their restless search for something significant to happen to them, continuously miss the insignificant, which may not be insignificant at all. Boy, isn't that the truth? He says, inner space consciousness and who you are in your essence are one and the same. In other words, the form of little things leaves room for inner space. And it is from inner space, the unconditioned consciousness itself, that true happiness, the joy of being, emanates. To be aware of little quiet things, however, you need to be quiet inside. A high degree of alertness is required. Be still, look, listen, be present. That's not always easy to do, is it? Let's try something. Close your eyes. Now, normally you would sit with this for a couple of minutes, but for time's sake, we're going to do the express version. Now, send out the intention that you want silence and stillness. And you do not want to be pulled away from this silence by your thoughts. Stay with it, shutting out every other thought but what I'm saying. Okay, what happened? You probably noticed that the moment you became silent, thoughts started popping in your head. Random, unrelated thoughts. These thoughts become a form of distraction. They pull us away from our inner silence. But it's normal. Just like your eyes see, your ears hear, your nose smells, your tongue tastes, your body feels, your mind thinks. The goal is not to silence all your thoughts, but it's to channel your thoughts in a present and positive direction. I know this. I am so guilty of overworking my brain and not appreciating the process. That's so, so important. Let me tell you what I mean by that. First of all, I love to brainstorm and problem solve. I know I've said this before, and I'm not talking math equations, eek, far from that. I'm talking about life. I guess that's why life coach is a good fit for me. I can be working on a project and at the same time have multiple things going on. I just told you about that earlier. If you had a hidden camera on me while I'm working, it would definitely be submitted for observation. And I'm not talking about healthy mental observation. Actually, I'm probably not different than a lot of you. You know, having a world of answers at the fingertips of a curious person can be dangerous. As a result, it's hard for me to shut my brain off and keep it still when I want to sleep. Anyone else have that problem? It's Saturday, you have nothing on the agenda except the chance to sleep in, and bam, Your brain starts thinking and then picking up speed. Oh no, that was a good thought. Something you don't want to forget. Okay, just think about that one thing, but also try to go back to sleep. Okay, don't lose it because that was a really good thing. Okay, I'm up. Doesn't that happen? I'm up. It's comforting to know that I'm not the only one that struggles with this, because I know many of you are shaking your heads right now. Now, about not appreciating the process, I focus a lot on the end result, the completion of a project, getting things done. I don't always take time to enjoy the steps it took to get there. I'm too anxious to see the final version. I remember realizing this through yoga one day. In my endless pursuit for some sort of exercise I actually enjoy and could stick with, I tried yoga. It was a YouTube video of yoga in my living room, but nevertheless, I was on my mat on the floor. Maybe I confused yoga with an intense workout, but I kept thinking, you know, as pleasant as she was, this is doing nothing for me. I'm not even working up a sweat. And then my mind would revert back to all the stuff I left at my desk unfinished in order to get here to do this. But then one day I stopped during one of my inhales. I got it. The exercise is in clearing your mind and releasing those thoughts that are keeping you bound up. The health benefits are from relaxing and focusing on yourself. How could I have missed that? I was rushing through trying to hit some sort of goal. Rushing, counterproductive for yoga, by the way. Remember what I said. Awareness is the key ingredient for change. Just like you should always look for the lessons in everything you do, you should also appreciate the process. There are some great nuggets of wisdom in process. Oprah Winfrey said, I got so focused on the difficulty of the climb that I lost sight of being grateful for simply having a mountain to climb. Isn't that so true? Here's a visual for you. As you zigzag up the side of a mountain, you stay focused on the winding road and what's just ahead. Because the road is curved and it winds around, you're unable to see the distance ahead, which is actually a motivational blessing, believe it or not. But don't forget to look over the side every now and then and see how far you've come. Don't miss out on the appreciation. That's so important. Are we getting there yet? Are we feeling like we may have a handle on eliminating some chaos and clutter so that we can find more space for peace? Are you already planning on how you can clear your mind so you can start filtering what you let in? Remember, you got to clean it out first and then put your filter on. Even though stillness and meditation is usually a singular act, joy is found in connections. Remember, I told you we are going to cover joy. Joy is relational. This means joy is generated from joy-producing relationships. When someone we care about is glad to be with us, this connection produces warm, happy feelings. And brain research now shows we each have a joy center in the right orbital prefrontal cortex of our brain. That's right behind our right eye. This is the only part of the brain that can grow throughout life. And because the joy center is renewable, when we're running on low, there's a healthy, wholesome way to obtain more. We just make more connections more often. Now, we can only generate true joy and true intimacy in true joy-producing relationships. Not only does it feel good, it regulates our emotions, our pain control, immunity centers. It also lets us be ourselves. It releases neurotransmitters that lift our spirits. A healthy joy injection. Just like our obsessive need for content is cluttering our mind, it's also severing our social relationships. Our brains are being tricked into believing that we have a large network of friends and a false sense of closeness. We see edited updates and filtered pictures, and then we respond with a thumbs up, a heart, a laughy face, a shocked face, or a mad face. We are sharing our emotions through emoticons. You know it. We're all guilty. You know you have searched your emoticon library for just the right face to accurately articulate your mood at that moment. It's even hard to send a text without a symbol. It seems dull and unemotional. You throw in an extra couple of exclamation points and a smiley face, and it looks like a different message altogether. Someone loses a family member, someone dear to their heart, and we respond with a sad face. That has become our go-to sign of sympathy. What is the world coming to? We have got to strive for better. If we don't, we're going to lose communication and the emotions that go with it totally. As I said, joy can be achieved through meaningful relationships. Make it a point to connect with people. Start with eye contact and then a smile, but strive for a true connection where you can share and you can listen. Now, you're going to have to be intentional. Saying you should get together sometime is only the first step. If you never follow through, it's meaningless. It's just chatter. Make a date. Pull out your calendar right then and there and set a day and time, even if it's weeks or even months in advance. Time flies, and before you know it, it's here. Set yourself a reminder to touch base just to make sure that you're still on track for the date. Make it a priority for you and your health, and then show up. Just simply show up. Judith E. Glasser, an organizational anthropologist. I've mentioned her a lot. She has wrote extensively on deep connections. There is a part in the brain that activates when you meet people. It's called the like me or not like me part of the brain, or the rostromedial prefrontal cortex. That's the real name. But basically what happens is it lights up when we see people that think like we do. We connect easily with them. It's like looking in a mirror and seeing more of ourselves, and we're comfortable. However, there is another part of our brain that has a bigger impact on us, and one that explains deep connections. This part of the brain is called the temporoparietal junction, or the TPJ. This part of our brain is activated when we share with others, and sharing trumps everything. When we're in active sharing with others, sharing deep secrets, sharing what's on our mind, sharing our fears, our dreams, our aspirations, our brain lights up like a Christmas tree. This is why people get addicted to tweeting and texting. We're sharing transparently without judging or filtering. This behavior activates a high level of oxytocin, which is the neurotransmitter that enables us to bond and connect with each other. This is why groups are so, so important. I started empowerment groups over a year ago. And I'll tell you, given the opportunity to share your joys, your concerns, your fears, your goals, uninterrupted in a no crosstalk feedback or no crosstalk type setting is powerful. Bonds are created, lifelong bonds, because you're there for each other, even if you're just listening. I've said this before, so many people are not heard, and they need the chance to get these feelings out and to really talk with one another. Find a way, create opportunities to be open and transparent with each other's passions, with each other's joys. Just share, share, share. When you are open with others, you send signals that you trust them. You trust them with the things that are personal to you. You bring people into your private space, and you trust that they're not going to harm you in any way. Developing this level of trust is so, so powerful. Do you have that level of trust with someone? Where are you going to get your joy injection? Think about creating a date, finding that person to share with. Maybe it's someone that you're close to and you just haven't been able to see in a long time. Maybe it's somebody new, somebody you would like to go a little bit further with and get to know. Maybe it's somebody new at work. Wouldn't that be a great opportunity? Ask the new girl, the new guy out to lunch or to have coffee. And then just share. Sometimes if your circle's really small, you've already shared all these stories. You've already talked about all these things. And so it might be fun to have fresh ears on all of your issues. Think about that. Now is a time where we like to recap the show. We have covered a lot, and I hope you are at a better place with a little extra peace and a way to find joy. I hope we're going to do things a little bit different this week. So let's recap the show. We started out evaluating our current day. What does that look like? Why are we in a rush? Instead of just rushing around and not questioning that, take a moment and really question that. Why are we in a rush? What are you doing? What are you allowing to clutter your mind? When you're getting up in the morning, you grab your phone, I'm sure, to turn the alarm off. Hardly anyone uses a normal alarm clock anymore. So you turn over, you grab your phone. What do? Do you just turn it off and get up and start your day, make your coffee, relax, meditate, pray? What do you do? Or do you grab your phone, flip on social media, go to email, and start absorbing all of this clutter? What about when you go to work? Are you trying to juggle everybody's schedule and yours? Do you create time to get each project done individually? It's really hard to do, but there is no success in multitasking. I bet, and I'm sure there's a study out there, that if you did, if they showed somebody just concentrating on one project at a time versus five projects at a time, I bet they spend the exact same amount of time and they're more successful if they do focus on each one individually. I bet there is. I'm going to have to look for that, but I bet it's out there. So how can you eliminate distractions? You don't have to solve it tomorrow at 8 a.m. when you get to work, but you can start thinking about it now and maybe pulling out a couple of things, one or two things that you're going to change, you're going to alter. You know, maybe you're going to start with my idea that I'm going to not take those downtime, those extra moments that I have in the day and try to occupy myself with clutter. I'm going to try to sit there and relax and wonder. Maybe you could try that. We talked about getting quiet and really being present. That's difficult to do. And one of the exercises you can do for that is to take, that's why in yoga or meditation, obviously you're breathing. Because when you're breathing, if you take in a big breath right now, you can feel that through your lungs and through your body, and you become sort of transported back into your body. And this is good to practice if you're brainstorming and you're ruminating, or those are two different things. If you're brainstorming, you're thinking years ahead, or you're stuck in the past, do a couple of deep breaths in and out and get present. Feel your fingers and your toes. Feel them so that you can transport yourself back into your body so that you can sort of deal with what's happening now, right? We talked about smiling, the benefits of smiling and how important that is. Fake it until you make it and it will actually happen. You know, you can also fake laugh, and there's so many benefits from laughing. If you start a fake laugh, you'll actually laugh at yourself because it's so ridiculous that it will become a real laugh. So give that a try. We talked about joy and joy of being with people that are glad to be with you. So how many more joyful connections can you make and can you nurture? We talked about the joy centers of the brain. And really how to combat those, like how to activate those, how to stimulate those. So, so important. We also talked about fighting what society is accepting. Stop just communicating via social media and devices. Start communicating in the real world. So I challenge you, make a date. Do it tomorrow. You've decluttered your day to make room for space in your mind, to invite in peace. So step outside of yourself and reach out and make a healthy connection. Invite in joy. Harness them both for true happiness. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you. How I wound up here.